T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hill, author, natural health expert, producer, and my boss.
This is not take two. We're good at this. Yeah, we don't need to do it a second exactly. time. This is our first time attempting this show. Mm-hmm. That's all you need to know.
Uh-huh. And we also have with us today our little friend, Will Schmidt, Hottie Patati, trainer to the stars. How's Will doing?
I'm good. Good.
He's good. Please listen to our previous take when we talked about his haircut.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes, he has a sassy new short do.
Mm-hmm. Sassy. Mm-hmm.
It's all the rave in West Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. So, today our topic is, have you had your gallbladder yanked? And if you have...
Just say yes. Raise your hand and we'll know.
And just so you know, today all of our listeners can get a free audiobook from audible.com. Just go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook for all the details.
And I think that by the time this show comes out... You can get Kick Your Fat in the Nuts audiobook.
So exciting.
You can get our book for free, and that makes you fancy.
Really sweet. Cool.
Yeah, so go to that link.
I mean, I had to read that stuff like a bunch of times, and I could have just waited for
Right, you could have waited somebody to read it to you. I know. Aww. That's very upsetting. So if you go to the link, the kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook, we'll have an update there if it's available. The book's done, and it just takes a couple weeks for... Audible to get it up and out and available, but
so hurry up, Audible.
Yeah, hop it up.
So if you haven't followed us on Facebook, then you're missing out.
You hurt my feelings not following.
He's crying right now. Kick it. Go to Kick It in the Nuts, and we're going to post topics there that we'll be doing on future shows. And you guys can post any questions you want us to cover in that show, and we'll try to oblige you. And if you've missed any of the other previous shows, you can check those out on Stitcher or iTunes and
You just hit subscribe and you get them all for free, and then you're somebody.
Yeah, there's like 42 of them. You could spend a whole Saturday just watching them.
Right, it took us
watching them, listening to them.
Took us a whole Saturday to record all of them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and then some.
Yeah.
So, okay, what's the big deal about a gallbladder? Why do we really need it?
What's the hoopla? So, we talk a lot about digestion. I don't know if you heard that part before.
Oh, no.
We mention it. We mention it from here there.
Almost as much as sugar.
Mm-hmm. And a gallbladder is a big part of how digestion functions, but... A lot of people have had theirs yanked out, so a lot of our book readers are people that are looking for help to figure out, how do I make these symptoms better? How do I make digestion better without my gallbladder? And
I'm looking for love in all the wrong places.
Right.
That's what I'm looking for.
So people have a lot of questions about, why did I have to get it yanked out? What do I do now that it's yanked out? What can I do to keep mine from getting yanked out? So that's just... We kind of have a lot of questions, so we'll probably just jump right into them, but that's the kind of topics that we're going to cover. So if you've already had yours yanked, we'll talk about some steps that you can make. We'll talk about why you're having the symptoms that you're having, stuff like that. Do you have anything that you want to be excited about, Will?
Yeah, I like gallbladders.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you can have the option, not that I'm giving medical advice, but if it were up to me, I would try to keep it.
Yeah, it's worth
it's
keeping.
A good thing.
It's worth having around.
We should start a Facebook page, Save the Gallbladder.
Save the Gallbladder. Mm-hmm. We'll have everybody make little videos of dumping bile on their head.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Nice. All right, so I guess we'll just dive right in. And today I'm reading off a laptop, people, because we have a problem with the printer. So give me a little slack here.
Maybe it's because we're advanced and we can use technology now instead of paper.
I know. We're saving a tree. We're doing our part. All right, Angel from Waukegan, Illinois. What the F to do?
And this seems to be a common question that we get about...
I ask myself that every day.
Yeah. So people get a little frustrated that they're dealing with all these symptoms when having their gallbladder removed was supposed to improve those symptoms. So we're going to talk a little bit about why that happens as we go through these questions.
Dennis from Des Moines, Iowa. Why have I had soft stool several times a day since my removal in 2010?
Well... Since we've started doing this show, 42 episodes now, we have promised Kenna that we would talk less about her diarrhea.
Mm.
So maybe we should have Will talk more about this so that we don't...
A hypothetical Kenna?
Yeah, maybe a hypothetical Kenna. But we don't want to talk a lot about how Kenna used to have diarrhea after diarrhea.
Why would we go on and on about that? About how many years she went through that?
Better swing, better swing.
So... Well, maybe you can talk a little bit about the gallbladder's role and why someone could get a lot of diarrhea without one.
Yeah. So one of the main things as far as the digestive aspect of how the gallbladder helps is it stores and concentrates bile for when the food sludge that leaves the stomach, which is called the chyme, technical medical term, like that food, right, leaves the stomach and enters the start of the small intestine, the duodenum, that's when the gallbladder should squirt bile onto that acidic food. So ideally, it's acidic.
And why would a gallbladder squirt bile on that acidic food, Will?
Couple reasons. One, it neutralizes the acidity of the HCl, the stomach acid, and all that food sludge that's carrying it, so that it can move, so that it won't burn the intestines. So it'll move at an appropriate rate, or won't fry all the flora and kill your gut flora and damage the intestinal lining, so you can absorb a lot of nutrients through it. And it also helps emulsify the fats. It's a soap slash salt, and it breaks down the fats into usable lipids. But when we look at this question that Dennis had about soft stool and how that relates to this aspect, we want to maybe focus a little bit on the pH balancing aspect of how bile neutralizes the acidity from the stomach acid and then allows the stool to move through the intestines at a normal healthy rate and have a greater solidity and consistency.
Right, Will. That was a good explanation.
So
what we look at is that this HCl that's made in the stomach is made to break down protein. Well, guess what your intestinal tract is made of?
Protein.
So if this stomach acid is leaving the stomach and it's not getting neutralized by the bile squirted out of the gallbladder, then it continues to move through your intestinal tract as an acid that's meant to break down protein. So it would break down your intestinal lining, basically. So the body will say, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I don't like you to break me apart like that. So it will move that acidic substance through the intestinal tract very quickly. It'll usher more water to the bowels to kind of help cool it off and to move it out faster. And all of a sudden you're spraying butt soup out the back door and you don't like that. So this is probably the most common symptom with someone who has lost their gallbladder, because without storing the bile and concentrating it to make it more effective in the gallbladder, people usually don't have enough bile to neutralize that amount of acid, and so it ends up your stool is loose. We're going to talk about some ways that a person could get constipated without a gallbladder too, but this is the most common response.
All right. Janie from Danville, California. Yes, looking forward to this issue. Any tips on nausea without a gallbladder would be great.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of times when someone has had their gallbladder removed is because the bile became stagnant. It was too thick and sticky, and it could have formed stones from, you know, the gallbladder concentrating that bile. And if it's not flowing, but it's continuing to concentrate, it will eventually turn to stones. And that's kind of how that can happen. You know, a lot of times it's just backed up to where it's not flowing, even through the biliary pathway. So if someone has their gallbladder removed, they may have removed the thing that was causing those painful attacks, but the bile is still not flowing. And do you want to talk about nausea and, like, liver function and how bile flows into that?
Yeah. So, well, there's a couple ways that nausea can fit into that. One is, like, if your bile is crystallizing and not being excreted, there's a lot of toxic retention because your body is trying to send out a lot of waste and neutralize toxins through the colon, through the bile. And so if it's not flowing well, that's going to get recirculated into the bloodstream and make you feel like crap. Right. Also, you're not breaking down fats when you eat them without good bile flow, and those fats will then occurring to your body as something that induces nausea and diarrhea, and that's not fun either.
Right. So if the body's main pathway to remove toxins from the body is through the bile, but the bile is not flowing well, then you're going to be nauseous because basically your body is just toxic. Mm-hmm. All that junk can't move out. So we see a lot of people that they've had their gallbladder removed, but that doesn't mean that they've taken steps to thin the bile and to get it flowing through that biliary pathway. So even if you don't have a gallbladder to store the bile so that it can be used for proper digestion, you still want the biliary pathway to flow so that toxins from the liver can still exit the body. And they can still exit the body if the bile is flowing. It just kind of flows constantly.
Yeah.
But it's still going through the intestinal tract and can be removed. So if that's the cause of your nausea, then you can fix that easily. But if it's caused by not digesting fats correctly, then you would have to take steps to do that, like by using ox bile. And we're going to talk about that in some of these other questions.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Rob from Australia. I had mine yanked about 10 years ago, and for years after I ate anything with high-fat cream, chocolate, or sausages, I almost keeled over. Much better today, but still some things are a problem. Do your research before someone charges you money to have something removed which may be unnecessary or fixed with alternative treatments.
He lives in Australia, but he's from
Great Britain, I tried. I think. Did. Yeah, that's the word.
He's an immigrant.
Yeah. Sorry, Rob.
Yeah. So we'll answer your question next time if McKenna can get the accent right. Mm-hmm.
For now, we just can't make sense.
Yeah, we can't. Mm-hmm. We can't understand what the question is. No, but so, Will, what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, anything that you can't digest, if you consume it, is going to give you problems.
It's going to be a burden.
Yeah, like if you don't have stomach acid eating protein, it's going to cause these similar kind of issues of uncomfortable digestive symptoms and nausea. So without sufficient bile being secreted onto the fatty foods that he just mentioned, the cream and sausages and high, whatever other high fat foods he's eating, all those fats are just going to sit in the digestive tract unemulsified, and they're going to cause problems. They're not going to be able to turn into the nutrients that your body wants to use them for, and instead they're going to be these large particles, some of which enter the bloodstream and your body doesn't know what to do with them and can have immune system reaction responses to it, and it'll just not go well.
Right, it kind of becomes more of a toxin than a nutrient if it can't be processed correctly. So if people are having this issue where, because that's really the advice that most people give someone's lost their gallbladder, is don't eat any fats. And the problem is your body needs fats. Mm-hmm. And if you're not getting the fats that your body needs, your body will try to convert other types of foods to fats, and then it will also store them to keep them because it's not getting what it needs. So it's like, well, I'm going to be stingy with the fats that are stored because I have to have these to function. So what we tell people is that you can either avoid fats, which is not the optimal solution, or you can use ox bile supplements to kind of synthesize bile in the system so that you can emulsify the fats that you're consuming, and then all of a sudden your body can use them. And this can be a tricky process. We're going to talk about the very specifics of how to use ox bile when we get into some of those questions, but know that just avoiding fats is not your only option. There are other options that you can do to kind of synthesize digestion a little bit.
All righty. Felicia, I have scar tissue and it hurts worse than having my gallbladder did.
So we hear this a lot where I'm still having gallbladder pain. Like I'm still getting gallbladder attacks. And a lot of times that happens because, like we talked about before, the biliary pathway is blocked. Mm-hmm. And if it's blocked, it's still going to cause those pains the same way that when the gallbladder was blocked. So we find that if a lot of people will take the steps to thin their bile so it can flow better, that those phantom pains go away. And it's not that some type of scar can't cause pain, but a lot of times scar tissue is dead tissue. So there's not a lot of feeling in that unless there's some type of lump of scar that is pushing on something and causing some type of pain. Do you?
Yeah, I mean, it would be all like the immediately surrounding area, which mm-hmm. is like the biliary pathway, that whole biliary tree. So that's going to feel kind of similar to the same issues. And like you said, the bile can be sludgy or crystallized in any part of the biliary tree or even in the liver itself. So that whole area can start to feel pain. It doesn't just have to be centralized in the gallbladder.
So what are the steps that people can take to thin the bile so that it flows better? And there's a lot of things that can cause bile to become too thick and sticky and not flow well. Things like processed foods. If at the cellular level someone is at too much of a catabolic state, then that can thicken the bile so it doesn't flow well. So there's lots of things that can happen that can thicken it up, but what are some things someone can do to make it thinner?
Yeah, I think our main tool that we usually go to is the product Beet Flow, or the use of beet greens, whether you like have them directly sauteed or even juiced possibly. But Beet Flow seems to be a really effective way for people to conveniently thin their bile. And it's just primarily the active ingredient is the extract from the greens that grow on beets. It just has this really effective way to make the bile not be sludge anymore.
But right. If you ate it, you'd have to eat a whole bunch of it, right?
Right. The Beet Flow capsules are very concentrated form. So, and if you just wanted to eat beet greens, you would kind of have to eat it like a horse might in order to get enough effectiveness. But eating the greens isn't going to hurt, certainly. And people can also do like coffee enemas and coffee suppositories too. That's another option.
Yeah. I mean, and that's kind of working literally from the other end, right? Where it's not necessarily directly, or maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but my thinking about it was it's not necessarily directly affecting the consistency of the bile so much as it is dilating the pathway through which it flows.
Yeah, you might be right. And there is some talk of some of the factors that could thin a little bit, but it is going from the other end. And we find some people's bile is so backed up that they need to use Beet Flow and a coffee suppository, so they're kind of thinning things from both ends.
Yeah, it's really synergistic.
Right, so, but it really depends on the person, because some people can see improvement just by removing 100% of all processed food all the times and removing all grains, dairy, and legumes, because those are some things that seem to contribute to thickening of the bile for a lot of people. So if somebody wants to be dedicated or doesn't have access to supplements or whatever, that is a step they can take. But as they change their diet, it may not be that fun, because if bile's not flowing and you're removing all processed foods and grains, that means you're going to be eating more fats and proteins. And if your digestion isn't working, it'll be harder to process those foods. So we just recommend people using the Beet Flow because it seems to be the easiest way to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. And as you work on improving it, you've also got to remember, like, every bit of fat that you eat requires bile to emulsify it. So it's like if you had like a whole cup of oil on your hands, like, it's going to take a lot of soap to like wash all that off. So just because you get your bile to start flowing and you see some signs of improvement doesn't mean all of a sudden you can eat all the fat you want. Like, you have to have enough bile to match the amount of fat. So a lot of times people need to gradually phase into like a lower carb, higher fat, higher protein diet as they work on their digestive power.
Right. So that's why people tend to like to use the supplements that help them cheat a little bit. And we teach how to do this in our free digestion course on kickitinthenuts.com. And we tell you where to find all the things you need and how to test your chemistry and see what might be going wrong and stuff like that. But keep in mind that even though for a lot of these questions and a lot of people that are dealing with symptoms, it's very important to get bile to be able to flow properly. Without a gallbladder, even if bile is flowing, it's not enough to have proper digestion. It's not always enough to neutralize the acid coming from the stomach. It's not always enough to emulsify all the fats. You still need to use ox bile in most cases if you've lost your gallbladder, because the gallbladder is where all that action was stored. So, though getting bile to flow can be important, it's not usually enough if you've lost your gallbladder. If you still have your gallbladder, then just getting it flowing is a good way to keep your gallbladder if you're having, you know, attacks or if someone's told you that you have stones. Now, do you want to talk a little bit about stones right now?
Or? Yeah. So they're literally like crystallized chunks of bile. And it's interesting when you look at the approach of doing like liver gallbladder flushes, and like the goal is to like excrete out as many stones as you can. And when you think about like, what are those stones exactly? They're not bad things. They're like, they are your bile. It's crystallized. And your body likes to reuse those like 28 times. It'll bring the salts back and through through the circulation of the bile salts. So just getting them to be excreted out isn't necessarily like a great goal. It's better to get those salts to break up and have the bile function correctly. But those stones are usually caused by what we see in hypercholesterolemia or in the catabolic imbalance when there's excess bilirubin, which is basically the broken down cell membranes from blood cells.
It's the garbage of cells that needs to be thrown out.
Yeah. So usually in the catabolic state, there's this accelerated turnover of cells. The membranes are piling up in the bile faster than ideal, and it ends up adding all this extra stuff to the bile and making the cholesterol levels in it and the cell membrane fractions too high for the bile to be fluid and ends up being more sludgy.
Right. And so a lot of people will use these, you know, gallbladder flush things, but a lot of times you're also flushing out the liver, and if that biliary pathway isn't moving, now the liver just dumped all the garbage it had into the system, and now you're overly toxic, and maybe the kidneys are called on to help remove some of this filth, and you overwhelm your kidneys and can cause kidney problems as well. So we like to see people take the steps just to thin the bile, because if it starts to thin and move, then at least there's movement through the gallbladder, and those stones can start to melt down and disintegrate, and instead of getting bigger and bigger, they get smaller and smaller. Mm-hmm.
All right. Matthew, I had mine out in 2009. I couldn't eat without running to the bathroom. Some days I'm still like this, and it all depends what I eat. Greasy, fatty food, that bathroom better be free.
Yeah, a lot of people, they can't go anywhere without knowing where the bathroom is on the way. You know, they have to have these emergency backup locations that they need to, I need it now. It's not like they can wait till later. It's coming out. And it's going in the pants if they're not making it to the bathroom. So it becomes this thing that kind of controls their life. And that's not that fun. Mm-hmm. So, but we do understand why this happens. And like we talked about at the top of the show, it's usually because, the stomach acid can't be neutralized. So it screams through the system. Fats can't be emulsified so they become a burden and an irritant to the intestinal tract. And the body wants to send them out the back door as fast as possible.
Jimmy, my wife had hers out since 1998, and everything she eats goes right through her, and she has even changed her diet. Lily, I've had mine removed for 6 years, and I cannot deal with the runs every day. Whether I have a glass of water at 8 a.m. or a greasy meal, I suffer the same, and despite this, I cannot lose any weight. Oh, that would be annoying.
Right. Yeah, you're loose all day, but you still can't lose
weight. That's what I used to think all the time. I was like, I'm always having diarrhea. How am I fat?
You had diarrhea?
Once or twice.
Right, and the reason that is because no nutrients are being absorbed by the body because it's all screaming through too quickly, and then we crave all this junk and sugar and carbs just to get some type of immediate form of fuel. So let's ask one more question, and then we'll talk about Lily Jimmy.
Michelle from Austin, Texas. Does ox bile help? Yes.
So this can be a kind of a complicated thing, but Kenna cleared it up. So let's
move right. Moving on.
Use it. So Will, do you want to talk about just the basics of ox bile, and then we'll kind of look into some of the.
That's a horrible name, by the way. They should rename that supplement. Who wants to put ox bile in them?
Ew. Right, because that's what it is. It's ox bile.
It's honest. Ew. It's an honest name. It's honest. Ew. You can stand by.
So that's why the one that we use is called Bile Emulsion from Empirical Labs, and because it comes in a capsule. And some of the ox bile products out there are in a tablet, and when you put it in your mouth, it tastes like ox bile would taste.
How do
Have
you know?
Eaten ox bile?
Yeah, believe me, I know. I'm from Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. We have cow patty contests, and sometimes when you're throwing them, it breaks, and it just happens.
A little in your mouth.
Yeah. Anyways, ox bile, go, Will.
So it's a complicated thing to use because you want the first stage of digestion to stay acidic. So you can't just take it with your meal. You have to wait until that food has been properly acidified and passed just as it's starting to go into the duodenum. Then you also have to adjust the dosage based on how much acid you're trying to neutralize and how much fat you're trying to emulsify. So it takes a bit of practice in learning what the right timing is for you, because there's variance in like how long it takes for a meal to leave the stomach, depending on like the meal, depending on the individual and their
ability to make acid. Yeah.
Right. So there's all sorts of, it's not like a wait 1 hour. It's like, no, it's, you've got to like nuance it and learn like what's right for you with what kind of meal and your chemistry and understanding your own stomach acid. It's a complicated thing to learn to use, but you have a lifetime to do it. If you don't have a gallbladder, you got to practice.
Because that's the thing. A lot of the things, the supplements that we use with digestion are meant to correct a malfunction that wasn't working correctly. But once your gallbladder is gone, you basically have to use ox bile forever. It's a situation that if you're not using it, you're not likely digesting your food correctly. And here's the variation from person to person who has lost their gallbladder, because not everyone who's lost their gallbladder has a loose stool or gets nauseous. A lot of people are constipated, and the variation happens from the person's ability to make stomach acid. So if people don't have the resources to make very much stomach acid, then the acidic product leaving the stomach is not that acidic. So maybe the small amount of bile that's kind of flowing through all the time can be enough to neutralize that, so that instead of having a loose stool, you might end up being more constipated. Mm-hmm. But the people that are not making enough acid usually have other issues, like they will get bloated and maybe they even have reflux symptoms from time to time. But so that variation kind of makes you have to figure out what's right for you when you use it, mm-hmm. the ox bile stuff. So like Will was saying, if the ox bile is alkaline and your stomach acid is acidic, if you take the ox bile with your food, when the food goes in, it's supposed to make it, the stomach's supposed to make HCl and make that food acidic. So if you're putting ox bile in at the same time, you just neutralize that. You just turned off the ability to acidify and break down that food. So you don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So what we tell people to do is usually to take the ox bile capsules just before they go to bed. And it should have already been a couple hours since you've eaten. So that the food has had time to acidify enough, maybe even move out of the stomach. So then you take the ox bile just before you go out of bed. And then through the night, it's moving through the stomach and into the intestinal tract. Since it's alkaline and not real acidic, it won't move real fast. Do you want to talk about this, things moving the speed of acidity first?
Yeah. So the general rule of thumb is that when the product in the intestinal tract is more acidic, it tends to go faster through the intestinal tract. And the more alkaline it is, the slower. But there can be extremes also where if it's too alkaline, there can also be an adverse reaction from the intestinal tract and just expel it. Because either one can burn, acid or alkaline.
Over-alkalinity can burn just like acidity.
Yeah, and so your body will just like expel it as quick as it can.
Right. Those cases are more rare, but it still is a possibility, you have to understand. So anyways, so as this ox bile that you took the night before moves through the system, now it's in the intestinal tract, and the thought is that the next morning when you eat your food and your body creates HCl and now the product is acidic and it starts moving out of the stomach into the intestinal tract, the hope is that it catches up with that bile, ox bile that you took, and then it has that kind of neutralization that would happen if your bile was being squeezed out of your gallbladder. And it's that opposite polar reaction of the acidic meeting with the alkaline is where it creates this sizzle, kind of like vinegar and baking soda does. And it's that sizzle is what breaks your food apart so that you pull nutrients out of it.
Do you have any thoughts on people using it midday, like if they're experiencing diarrhea throughout the day?
Right. So that's the first meal, is hopefully that your breakfast is catching up with what you did that night before. Then 2 hours after that meal, it's a good idea to take more ox bile. And some people may find, you know, if I'm taking it 2 or 3 times a day, I get too constipated. And too constipated is a sign of too much bile, not enough acidity. And some people may find that if they only take it at night, that they get a loose stool because it's too much acidity, not enough bile to neutralize it. So the way to figure it out is to, after breakfast, after 2 hours, after the food's had time to move through, take more ox bile. But You really want to take it at least 45 minutes before you eat, because you want time for it to move through the stomach before you add food in and start, you know, acidifying the stomach again.
Do you find that sometimes people need to say they had like decent hydrochloric acid levels initially, and then they learn about this and start supplementing with ox bile, and that ox bile is possibly neutralizing some of their hydrochloric acid, so then all of a sudden they have subpar HCl levels, right, and they might need to start supplementing with that also?
Correct. So there's this thing, and this is why it can be a little complicated, and one thing that you can do is I made a whole page of videos in our free digestion course. It's just for people that lost their gallbladder, and the videos have a visual aspect to them, and they kind of show, look, take it here, and then if you need HCl, take it here. So we're kind of, it just kind of shows people how to do that. But yeah, that's true, that since the ox bile is so alkaline, if you're taking it throughout the day, you're reducing the baseline acidity level of your stomach. And that's not optimal, but since the gallbladder is not there, it's really the only option that you have, unless you can find a used gallbladder at a garage sale or something. I don't know who would Amazon? Install that. Amazon might do that. But I don't know if they do free shipping on the gallbladders for Amazon. Anyway, so...
Buy two.
Right. Yeah, you buy two, they get a discount. So when you're doing these steps to improve digestion without a gallbladder, it's never going to be as good as true digestion. But if you take the time to tweak, make adjustments. I'm going to move this to here. I'm going to do a little bit more ox bile. I'm going to do a little bit less. I'm going to increase my HCl. All these things, if you take the time to figure out what works for you, then a lot of these symptoms that you're dealing with will improve amazingly.
I wonder why they don't do organ donation for gallbladders.
Right.
What's up with
that? Well, I guess most of the ones that are being yanked are no good.
They're kind of
dirty.
They're all worn out.
But what about from dead people?
Well, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Organ donation. Why don't they give the gallbladders of dead people to people who need them?
I don't know if how that would work, or I'm not going to try it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe we should pitch it though.
Yeah. But in any case, so it's the goal is to take the ox bile on an empty stomach and at least 45 minutes before you eat. And then when you eat your food, if you still feel bloated or have reflux or you're constipated, all the symptoms that we see with a lack of HCl, then you may need to supplement with some HCl capsules during the meal to acidify that meal more. And I find that that's usually the balance that works best, is for people to use both ox bile and at least a little bit of HCl. But if someone without a gallbladder uses just HCl, they need to know where the bathroom is.
That's a problem.
Yeah, because it's not going to neutralize that, and there's going to be some loose stool issues eventually.
Well, if I ever drop acid again, I'm going to do a beet flow flush before.
Right, because it's the same. That's the same.
Yeah, exactly. All right, from Shane, Alcoa, Tennessee. I had my gallbladder removed in July 2008. I still get severe cramps and diarrhea about 30 minutes after I eat. Doesn't matter what I eat. My doctor said it is excessive bile flow and wants to put me on medication. What should I really do?
So this is something that I've been hearing about lately too, that, and this is a possibility, because what happens is when the bile is not concentrated in the gallbladder, it still goes through the same pathway. Just when it gets to the gallbladder, it's like, oh, there's no gallbladder, so I'll just keep flowing. And that flowing goes down into the intestinal tract. So if a person has great bile flow, great bile production, and they're flowing a lot, then their loose stool and diarrhea could be like kinazole diarrhea.
Here we go again.
See, what happened was, Kenna used to have diarrhea.
I remember that.
Oh, we've talked about that before?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
In case you missed it.
Right. But it's a rare type of diarrhea that Kenna had.
It's from a ginger.
But it is rare, because usually when someone has a loose stool, it's because they don't have proper bile flow to emulsify the acid.
But my bile was too thick, huh?
Right. So Kenna had very poor HCl production and great bile flow. So now, like Will was saying, her intestinal tract was irritated from the over-alkalinity of it and from bile constantly dumping into the intestinal tract. Mm-hmm.
This is the first time I've ever understood it.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, after See, 8 years, we just seven, needed to years.
Talk about your diarrhea. Yeah. 140
maybe
times.
Someday I'll really. Get the gym down too with the sets.
Yeah, yeah, that's a whole different thing. That's fun. okay, so, but so it is possible for someone to have a loose stool issue from overly bile situations, but it's becoming popular now since now that there's a drug that kind of turns off bile production. So now a lot of doctors are going to this drug when people have loose stool issues without a gallbladder. And it's a problem because now you don't have an exit strategy for any filth or any junk, and you don't have any bile to emulsify any of the fats that you're eating.
That's a crazy drug.
Right. So if you do have excessive bile flow, it's usually because you don't have enough acid. So now everything is overly alkaline. So if you usually add more HCl, that will balance out and you won't have the loose stool situations anymore.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to change my stage name to Biley McEnroe.
Do you want to say anything about like the recirculation of bile salts and like damaged intestinal villi?
I don't, but you do.
Because we've been talking a lot about, not on the show, but you know, when I call you late at night and just want to talk.
Uh-huh. Pillow talk.
about damage to the intestinal villi and different foods that can do that, like weird toxins and pesticides and things like that. And
yeah, when we've all been laying in bed, this conversation has been several times.
Right.
Yeah.
But the bile salts need to be recirculated, and there's different things that can mess that up, like if the intestinal villi are damaged, which can happen from a lot of different things. And that can cause diarrhea also, because those bile salts are not being properly recirculated. And it leaves too much alkalinity in the intestinal tract, so it'll trigger that peristalsis reaction. So there's different foods that can occur to the individual as irritants, and I think we might get into that when we talk. We might do an episode on the autoimmune protocol someday.
Yeah,
that'd
yeah.
be a cool thing, or celiacs.
Right, that'd be good. Be a big we'll one. We talk about this a lot in Chapter 9 in Kick Your Fat in the Nuts, too, if you had that book. You can right check on. That out. But, you know, think about that a lot of people that have lost their gallbladder, their symptoms change as they progress because, you know, a lot of those, if a person doesn't have any bile to neutralize that acid and the acid's moving through the intestinal tract every day, you're frying up some of those things that need to, mm-hmm. those villi that need to function yeah. correctly. And one thing that happens is a person can move from being loose stool to constipated. Because what would happen if a person doesn't have bile flow and you can't get that sizzle of acid meeting alkaline, then you can't pull the minerals out of your food. And without enough minerals, your body can't make stomach acid. So as your stomach acid production diminishes, your loose stool may improve. And you might end up at the point where you get more constipated because you're making such a small amount of HCl now. And new symptoms can come up like constipation and, you know, bloating and acid reflux and all those things that go along with low stomach acid. So you have to kind of understand how your digestion is evolving through malfunctions to understand that how it can change from one to another.
All right, Ashley, I still have stomach aches, constantly have acid reflux, recently started getting heartburn really bad.
So there it is. There's one that happens.
Exactly. She was ahead. That was a weird psychic question.
Or I've
you yeah, read yeah. ahead, yeah. cheater. Right. Either way. All right, Rebecca.
Oh. Wait, simmer down, Rebecca.
Oh, okay.
You'll get your turn. Maybe not on this show. We might have to make this a two-parter. I think we probably will. But let's talk a little bit about reflux, and if this is an issue for you, you probably will want to listen to our Understanding Acid Reflux, Heartburn, and GERD episode, because we talk about it a lot and explain a lot of variations. But do you want to just touch on it for a second, Will? So to carry on with what we were just talking about, how a reduction in mineral intake or your body having access to minerals can reduce stomach acid production and how that can lead to heartburn and reflux.
Sure. So when you don't get minerals out of your food, you tend to run short on all your electrolytes in general, including chloride, which is the key component that your body uses to make hydrochloric acid. So then your stomach acid levels start to diminish as your body just tries to put electrolytes in the bloodstream to keep you alive. And that starts to allow bacteria to exist in your stomach.
Because the acid is what was killing all the little bastards that come in and want to set up camp and have a party.
Yeah, the majority of different bacteria that tend to take root in the stomach can't survive when the pH is below 4 or 4.5.
Three point five, something like that.
So, but the stomach acid levels should keep the stomach at a pH around 1 or 2, sufficient to break down protein and kill all the bacteria. But when you don't have that stomach acid present to maintain that low pH, then bacteria can take root and multiply, and they will ferment your food when you consume something like sugar or whatever, any kind of like nutrient, but especially carbs. They'll ferment that, and they create off gases, just like yeast creates bubbles in beer, and that creates air pressure. And that can push the valves of the stomach to slip open from the pressure, and that creates a regurgitation of the contents of the stomach, which is technically acidic, so you feel acid reflux, which is then confusing to people because they think, oh, I have too much acid because it's coming up.
That's what we're told. We're told that if you just turn off that acid, you don't have reflux anymore.
You don't have the burning pain of the reflux anymore, and you do neutralize the content of the stomach completely with like Tums or something like that. So you don't feel the burning, but the reality of it is if you take that route, you just turn off digestion entirely and you don't kill any of the bacteria or digest your food. But if you had enough acid, then it would kill the bacteria, so you wouldn't get the off-gassing and the air pressure, and the acid levels would also trigger the valves of the stomach to seal shut and tight like a furnace so that it wouldn't slip open at all, and you don't regurgitate anything. If you have sufficient hydrochloric acid levels, your stomach is sort of just like rock solid. There's no...
Yeah, that valve closes. Yeah. The valve stays open so that food can come in, but when food comes in and the stomach starts to make acid, when the acid reaches a certain level, that triggers that valve to close so that it doesn't come back up. But the problem is that if you only have a little bit of acid, it doesn't trigger the valve. So now when that food comes up, it burns and it sucks and that's no fun.
Yeah.
So instead of turning off your acid, we teach people that they can supplement with hydrochloric acid to increase their acidity level so that it will trigger that valve to close and you don't get reflux. The thing is, if you don't have a gallbladder, you won't be able to neutralize that added amount of acid, and your stool is going to be real loose in a big hurry. So that's when you have to use ox bile to neutralize that acid, and you have to figure out what works for you. So that's a problem when someone without a gallbladder has a loose stool and acid reflux, because they need to increase their acid to turn off that reflux, but they can't because they don't have enough bile to neutralize it, and they're going to have that loose stool issue. So you kind of have to fix the loose stool issue first using ox bile, and then you can start to improve the acid production to get rid of the reflux.
Cool.
So let's see. I think we're going to have to pick this up next week, but really we're just going to sit here and
wait 5 minutes.
Right. And then we'll start next week, but you won't listen to it until next week because so many people had a lot of questions, and we have a lot left.
Wow.
Yeah. So let's talk about this more. So we'll pick it up next week. And if we didn't get to your question yet, simmer down, we'll cover it next week. And we're going to get into more of the things that, that you can do to improve some of these symptoms that you're dealing with.
All right. Because we're fancy now, today's show is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And if you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com.
And if you heard something that you liked, go to iTunes and leave us a review, because that helps us spread the word.
Yep.
See you in 5 minutes.
All right. Later. 'Cause I know a place where the sun is on.